taking the Lord's name in vain. That's what the third commandment deals with. We read there in verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." What does God mean when he speaks about taking his name in vain? Well, the meaning of taking the Lord's name in vain is the speaking of God's name in any ungodly and flippant manner. We see that in the wording that is used in this command. The word "take," "thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," that word "take" means to bring forth, means to lift up, it means to employ. The word "vain," the word "vain" denotes vanity, emptiness, frivolity, nothingness, evil, wickedness, or falsehood. So the word "vain" has those variety of meanings. Therefore, to take in vain means to lift up, to use falsely, or in an evil cause or reason. It means to use the Lord's name in an empty, frivolous way that regards the Lord's name as valueless. Person who takes the Lord's name in vain is indicating the Lord means nothing to that person. Which would then teach us that we ought to be careful how we use the Lord's name and how we speak the Lord's name. It is written in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2, "If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you." Those words bear repeating. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, you don't take it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. Surely those words would, as it were, make us to sit up and take notice and be careful how we use the Lord's name. And all who take the Lord's name in vain are publicly declaring, "The Lord means nothing to me." And of course, that is not just confined to the man of the world. I venture to say that we have heard professing Christians committing the same offense by the way they use the Lord's name. They flippantly do so without realizing what they're saying. They use words that are basically of the name of God and a corruption of the name of Jesus. And they use such terms without realizing they're taking the Lord's name in vain. So let us now consider this commandment And may it teach us to honor, glorify the holy name of our God. I want first of all to consider the name of God is revealing. The name of God is revealing. That is, every name of God reveals to us who God is. The answer to question 4 of our Westminster Shorter Catechism, question being, what is God? The answer is, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. How many of us think of God in this way? When we engage in prayer to him, when we employ our tongues to praise him, when we engage or participate in a conversation about him. How many of us think of God in that way? Outlined there in the Shorter Catechism answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, in his wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That's who God is. In this third commandment, the word name, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The word name signifies not only all of God's names, such as Jehovah, Lord God, the Most High, the Almighty, but it also refers to his personal titles, such as Creator, Savior, Redeemer, Shepherd. The name also refers to his nature, his attributes. So when we mention the Lord's name, we're making reference to who he is and to what he is, to his nature and his attributes. As we read in Isaiah, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Isaiah 57 verse 15. As W.S. Plumer, a great Bible commentator, puts it, anything relating to the true God, his being, his nature, his will, his works, his worship, anything relating to service rendered to him or to the doctrine concerning him, all pertains to his name. God has been pleased to reveal himself to us through his name. And those names are given to us, first of all, in the Scriptures. The divine names used in Scripture are God's statements regarding himself. Now we find the name God, of course, repeated many times throughout the Scriptures. But the name that is rendered God, when we look at the original, tells us something about him and who he is. For instance, the Hebrew words El or Elohim which is translated God, signifies the strong and the mighty one, or one who is to be feared and worshipped. And so where we have the name God, and in the original it is Elohim, it refers to one who's to be feared and worshipped. Another name translated God is the word El Shaddai. El Shaddai describes God as the Almighty. He is the loving provider for all his creatures. He is the Almighty. The name Shaddai means to be powerful and points to God possessing all power in heaven and on earth. Exodus 6 and verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, or I am El Shaddai, the Almighty and the All-Powerful One. Another name that God has given to us relating to himself is the Hebrew name Adonai, translated God. This name for God means to judge or to rule, and thus points to God as the Almighty Ruler, and to him, everything is subject. All the names describe God as the High and the Exalted One. In light of what we have considered regarding God and his names and their meaning, is it not a shameful thing, then, that people take this name of our God in vain? In so doing, they show no respect, no reverence for that name and the one to whom the name refers to. As well as God revealing himself through his names that we find in the scriptures, God reveals himself to us through his signs. That is, God reveals himself to us through his works. As the psalmist wrote, Psalm 75, verse 1, that thy name is near thy wondrous works declare. Thy wondrous works declare who God is. And the Apostle Paul highlighted the same truth in the book of Romans. In his epistle to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, and there in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So when we look around us and we behold God's creation, it speaks to us of his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They see God's creation, and his creation and his works speaks to us of his eternal Godhead and power. So man is without excuse. Everything that God does declares some aspect of his being and his nature. When David considered the heavens, David said, the heavens are the work of thy fingers. Psalm 8 and verse 3. So God reveals himself to us as our creator and as our maker. Think of it. God is our creator. He is our maker. He's the one we've been speaking about. The high and the lofty one, the almighty. As we read in Isaiah 7 and verse 7, at that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. But that is the problem. No respect is shown to our maker, the Holy One of Israel, when men and women take his name in vain. As well as revealing himself to us in the scriptures and by his signs, God reveals himself to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has most fully revealed himself in his Son. We read in 1 Timothy, the words of Paul, of course, to his son in the faith. In 1 Timothy, in the chapter 3, and there we read in verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's the Son. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. God is manifest in his Son. And of course John made that very clear in the opening of his Gospel. There in the opening words of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And record it in John 8, in verse 58, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Lord Jesus saying, I'm Jehovah. I am God. And again, John records the Lord's words when he said in John 5, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. So the Son is to be honored as the Father is honored. That's something the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses would need to take note of, because they don't honor the Son as they honor the Father. They look upon the Son as nothing more than a creative being, an angel. But here the Lord says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So as God the Father's name is not to be taken in vain, neither is the Son's name to be taken in vain, neither is the name of the Holy Spirit to be taken in vain. What do we read in Matthew 12 regarding the Holy Spirit? There in Matthew 12 and verse 31, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So we always need to be careful how we use the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because God says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And the name of the Lord thy God includes the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have considered the name of God, and it is revealing. We look also and consider the name of God is to be revered. The name of God is to be revered. God has commanded us that his name is not to be taken in vain. Psalm 29, verse 2. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Give unto the Lord the glory that is due, that he deserves. "Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name." That's what we are to do. That is the responsibility that is laid upon every one of us. Every one. We can see that the Lord is to be honored and glorified by us and with reverence. That's what the Lord Jesus has taught us. That's what he taught his disciples. The Lord teach us to pray. And he delivered to them what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And how were the disciples to begin? "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." His name is to be hallowed. So we see his name is hallowed. The word hallowed means to set apart or to sanctify. It's a name that is to be set apart from all other gods, so-called. You look at Exodus 23. Exodus 23 and verse 13. And there we read, "And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth." We're only to speak of and to worship the one and only true God. "Hallowed be thy name." It means to set apart. His name is set apart from all other names. So the name of God is to be hallowed, first of all, in praise. In modern day contemporary Christian music, there is a great lack of reverence in the singing and the use of the Lord's name in the songs that are sung today. It is contrary to what the psalmist has said about praising the Lord. Psalm 66 verse 2. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Sing forth the honor of His name. We want to know how we are to honor the name of the Lord in praise. We've only to turn to Revelation and the chapter 5. For there in Revelation 5 we see how the Lord is honored and praised in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And as the Lord is honored and praised in heaven, we're to honor the Lord here upon earth. We read there in Revelation 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We are to reverently praise the Lord. His name is hallowed in our praise. His name is to be hallowed in our praying. Prayer is calling upon the name of the Lord. And when we pray, we must speak and use His name reverently. In prayer, we must not take His holy name in vain. You may say, well, how is that prayer? Oh, it's possible. There are those in certain religious organizations and churches, and they can hardly to address Christ as Lord. They always use His first name. And in their praying, it's Jesus, 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 repeat the name over and over and over again. That's taking His name in vain. Something I cannot stand personally. You go through the Gospels, and the only persons who addressed the Lord by His first name are those men and women of the world. You'll find that none of the apostles, disciples, ever addressed Christ by His first name. It was always Lord or Master. They honored Him. They lifted up His name. And so often in prayer, His name is taken in vain. It is used in an irreverent and flippant way. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. And when Nehemiah prayed, see how he came to the Lord and how he prayed. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4. Now you'll notice there's nothing flippant about the way he addressed the Lord. He did so reverently. He lifted up God's name. Nehemiah 1 verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great, the terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. That's how Nehemiah prayed. You've only to go to the book of Daniel and see how Daniel prayed. For there in Daniel, in his great prayer in Daniel chapter 9, we see how Daniel addressed the Lord. Daniel 9, verses 3 and 4. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. That's how these two men of God prayed. Nothing light or flippant in the way they addressed the thrice holy God of heaven. Those who addressed the Lord in prayer in a light-hearted manner, in a flippant way, without addressing God as they should, they're taking the Lord's name in vain. God's name is hallowed, is to be hallowed in our prayers, and in our praying, and in the preaching. There is no excuse for a preacher, a minister, a pastor to not speak reverently of the Lord and to not speak reverently of his name. There is no excuse because he is a student, or he ought to be a student of the Word. And if he's a student of the Word, he knows what the Word says about God's name. So there's no excuse for speaking about the Lord in a flippant way. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. He shall glorify me. And so the preacher, obviously, when he comes to preach the word, he'll want and need the help of the Holy Spirit. He'll pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the preacher who is full of the Holy Ghost will always, always glorify Christ. He will always honor his name. He will never take the Lord's name in vain by using it in a flippant way. As well as God's name being hallowed, it hardly goes without saying, but God's name is holy. God is a holy God, therefore his name is holy. We must render to him honor and praise and glory that is due unto his holy name. David said, Psalm 99, verse 3, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Again, the psalmist, 111, verse 9. Holy and reverent is his name. And yet how many take that holy name upon their lips and use it as a swear word? Well, they would need to know the Lord will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It will be woe to that man that taketh the Lord's name in vain. God is jealous for his name. We are to speak reverently of his name in our worship, in our conversation. Think of how the Lord Jesus in prayer, how he addressed his Father. I come to thee, O Holy Father. And just in passing, we might say, the Pope of Rome is a blasphemer. He gives himself the title Holy Father, a title that belongs to God alone. The Lord Jesus, when he spoke to his Father, he called him Holy Father. When he spoke to him, he called him O Righteous Father. John 17 is his high priestly prayer. And you read through that prayer and you read how the Lord Jesus addressed his Father. Addressed the God of heaven. We have then considered the name of God is revealing. It reveals things about God himself. The name is revealing. His name is to be revered. That brings us then in the last place. The name of God and the rebel. Because the Lord here says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless, but taketh his name in vain. There's the rebel. The person who rebels against this commandment. God says that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. The person who takes the Lord's name in vain will be declared guilty and will be judged for that sin. We don't need to go in to any great detail as to how men today take the Lord's name in vain. But sadly, this commandment is completely ignored by many today, first of all in their conversation. You and I know it is impossible to go through a large store today, say Walmart, without hearing somebody taking the Lord's name in vain. You know what the letters OMG stands for. How often do you hear people taking the Lord's name that way? It's in their conversation. There's no need for it. You get a bunch of young people congregated together. That's all you hear coming out of their lips. You know how the dear Savior's name is used as a swear word. Used as an expletive. Working and they happen to hit the wrong nail. and out of their mouth flows a list of expletives. They take the Lord's name in vain. God will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God will judge them for that. You don't need to give any more examples. You know them all yourself. But you think also, as we already mentioned, you think of the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus and how people use that name and corrupt that name and use another word. But it's really a corruption of the name of Jesus or a corruption of the name of God. God will not hold them guiltless that taketh the name in vain. The name of God and the rebel, those who rebel against the commandments in their conversation. But then we note also there are the consequences. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Guiltless. God will hold them guilty of insulting him by taking his name in vain. They'll be judged for that sin along with all their other sins in the day of judgment, except they repent and seek God's mercy and forgiveness. It is yet another sin that God will deal with in those who terrible, wicked sin. Quoting again the words of the Lord delivered by the prophet Malachi, we quoted these words at the beginning of our message this morning. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto thy name, my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even yet send a curse upon you. Judgment. Showing just how displeased the Lord is and how seriously God takes this breaking of this commandment, how seriously God takes it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. May we always be a people in our prayers and in our praying and in our preaching always exalt and glorify and honor with great reverence the name of our God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O our dear Lord, we thank thee for the instruction of thy word. O Lord, I pray thou wilt put a watch upon our lips. May we always be careful, Lord, when it comes to speaking about thee. May we always do so with great reverence and respect. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. O Lord, may we always hallow thy name. As a people, as individuals, as a church. Dear Lord, write thy word upon our hearts, even now. And dear Lord, be with us as we gather around the table to remember the dear Saviour's death. No, Lord, for any who are not able to stay, may thy blessing go with them. Lord, be pleased to return us to thy house this evening to spend time again around the word. The Savior's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.